Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet. Locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Welcome to the show, Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. Barrett, how entertained have you been the last couple of days covering what you cover in the SEC? Saban, Jimbo Fisher, Sankey with his statement yesterday. What do you make of all of it? Where did this come from the last couple of days?
Well, I mean, I tell you what, it felt like a college football Saturday yesterday. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It was absolutely wild. And, I think the overarching thing, and I said this on the morning show on Sirius, I said this morning, both of those guys are right, and both of those guys are fighting for change that they feel is needed, right? Like, Nick Saban was 100% accurate saying collectives have made this a lot more complicated and something needs to be done about that. And Jimbo, while he has used his collectives better than I think any other coach in the country, he seemed to insinuate, and he said it in the past, that there are no guardrails. They need to figure out how to do this the right way. I think Nick did not intend and should not, and he said this on SiriusXM yesterday when he apologized, he didn't mean to name A&M, and he shouldn't have. But the message that he delivered, I think, was on point and purposeful and I think still effective, even though the personal aspect of it between Saban and Jimbo sort of got in the way.
Bear, do you think one coach or the other or both maybe went out of bounds with their comments? I mean, Nick Saban kind of broke the code. You know, there's honor amongst thieves, man. There's kind of a code. Jimbo kind of said some things, too. Do you think either one of the coaches kind of stepped out of bounds?
Oh, I think both of them didn't. I think both of them, when they step back, will recognize that. And Saban already did recognize it because – you know, honor amongst these. You said it's exactly right. He started airing dirty laundry on a specific coach and a specific team, and you can't do that. Otherwise, you might get it thrown back in your face, which is exactly what Jimbo did. I don't even really bemoan him for doing that after, you know, Saban called out his program. But Jimbo, with the personal attacks and calling Nick Saban a narcissist and, you know, saying that if somebody shows you their character, believe them and all that other stuff, while we all think it's funny and a lot of us might think it's accurate, it probably should not have been said, because while it makes for great content and we're all thankful for that, there really is no good that can come out of anything like that.
Barrett Salee is with us from CBSSports.com. So what is next in this conversation? When Nick Saban, the top dog in the sport, says what he does, whether he should have or not, there's going to be follow-up conversation. We have Greg Sankey's statement yesterday, but what's next in this NIL conversation now that Saban has said what he did?
Well, I think first things first, at spring meetings, they're going to have a big talking to, like Mike Clive gave the coaches in 2009 when Lane had just gotten hired by Tennessee. I think that is that's going to happen first, and you know, we kind of see that coming because Lane was supposed to go on Dan Patrick to talk about this today and then said – that, or then the producers for Dan Patrick said that the SEC put the kibosh on that. So I think that's first, the talking to with all the coaches. But then after that, I think they're going to look for something productive to come out of it, and it's there. You know, I think really Nick never does anything like that, like steps out and says anything controversial or anything, or goes on a rant without an ulterior motive. And a lot of cases, it's for the good of the game. And I think there were two ulterior motives for him there. One, get his boosters to step up more, like Texas A&M. And then two, try to spur change that he feels is needed. Because he can walk and chew gum at the same time. He's always, you know, the 10-second rule to slow down college offenses. He railed against up-tempo offenses the same offseason in which he was building one. So he can have it both ways. That's not even hypocritical, but I think once they get a stern talking to in Destin, there's going to be, a more prolonged and a more, effective push to come out with a sort of unified stance within the conference. And honestly, in a backwards way, I think yesterday's sort of back and forth probably will make that stance more, it'll make it more resounding because, you know, you're talking about two guys in Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher who literally went at each other for 24 hours about an issue. And then if they all come to an agreement and the conference has, you know, sort of a unified stance, then I think the general public will be like, wow, they solved their differences and they all want this to happen. Well, maybe this is something that we should consider.
Barrett, I guess we could have found out during the Dan Patrick interview that ended up not happening, so maybe coaches can't say now, but you think more coaches are on Saban's side or Fisher's side, or is there a really good split among coaches?
I think more are on Saban's side. I've talked to some coaches. I think Saban was not acting on his own behalf on Wednesday. You know, there was – he had – support from others, and I can say that with pretty much certainty that the frustration that certain schools were able to organize collectives, you know, quicker than others is frustrating. Doesn't make it illegal, and I don't even think they're trying because it could be considered illegal. They all want that, you know, they're a little jealous of that, and Nick Saban's included, but they understand his voice carries weight, so they used him sort of as a conduit for it, which, I mean, fine. And so I do think that there are more people on Saban's side, but let's just say Auburn, right? Let's say Auburn was frustrated and sort of behind the scenes relayed the message to Nick that he's frustrated too. The moment a collective gets created that can do the same thing that Texas A&M's done and Miami has done, then they're going to flip to the other side, right? Like, I think that right now there are more people frustrated because A&M did it within the state laws, which it did, and did it better than anybody else, which it did. That's jealousy. But if as soon as, and Alabama doesn't even have this yet, but as soon as Alabama gets its collective together and starts doing the exact same things, but doing it better, willing to say Nick Saban's stance might change a little bit.
Bear, Jimbo's comments were very, very interesting when he mentioned the assistants, the former assistants under Nick Saban. Have you had a chance to speak to Saban assistants over the years? And some of the things that Jimbo said, do you feel like that those assistants you talked to could back up what Jimbo said about Nick Saban?
I think all of them, I think all assistants anywhere can back up anything about their former bosses if they want to. It's just, I think that, like, yeah, I mean, there will be a lot. I mean, look, Jim and Nick's hard to work for. Jimbo and Nick are type A personalities, you know, so it is hard to get along with people like that. A lot of coaches are. And so, yeah, I mean, I think from a personal standpoint, Jimbo saying when somebody shows you who they are, believe them, that is a slight to Nick Saban, and saying to learn what not to do from him. I'm sure thousands of other people can say that, you know, about Nick. Thousands of other people can probably say that about a lot of other people. So, yeah, that part of it they can back up. I think the cheating part and how he built the program, I'm sure coaches would spill the beans on it. I'm sure they feel the same way. But they're also doing similar things at their current job. They might not be doing it the same way, but they're still doing it. So you mentioned earlier in the segment, honor amongst thieves. Yeah, every coach could conceivably go off on Nick like Jimbo did. Every other coach that coached for Jimbo could probably say the same thing about Jimbo. There's just different ways to go about skinning the cat.
Barrett, before you go, was last night the most missed opportunity for a bad PR news dump by some SEC or college football program? If you had something, yesterday was the perfect time to get it out. Nobody would have seen it.
Yeah, I mean, the Jordan Addison thing was interesting. Jordan Addison was the one that I thought was a news dump because, oh, he went to USC. That was what he was going to do all along. And under a normal offseason, like, oh, what did USC do? How was
that's
it?
A good
how
point.
Were they luring
yeah.
him? Blah, 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 blah. And then now it's like, oh, yeah, okay.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, we used to see Baylor do that all the time when the Art Briles thing was happening. Like, the most opportune time ever they would drop something, and it did happen multiple times. And so I guess there's no dirty laundry in the SEC anymore. I doubt that's accurate, but yeah, missed opportunities for sure.
Oh, that is a good point. Lincoln Riley probably yesterday was pleased with the feud, so that any tampering allegations that would have come back up, push those aside. We got Jimbo and Nick to pay attention to. CBSSports.com, all kinds of coverage on what's going on and what will continue, I'm sure, in this NIL conversation. Go read his work there, CBS Sports HQ. You'll see him there as well. Barrett, thanks for the time as always. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks. Y'all have a good one.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.